Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening from Johannesburg, South Africa, for episode one of Diski Discussions, the South African soccer podcast, started just in time for the 2020-21 Premier Soccer League season. I am Backpage media journalist A.B. Vasson, and today I'm joined by Lawrence Koller. Mr. Here We Go, for those of you who aren't familiar with the catchphrase, I implore you to search for Fabrizio Romano on Twitter. Lawrence is a soccer journalist for kickoff.com and specializes in African soccer content. Also joining us today is Cape Town City media officer, aka Edmund Wadumo, Julian Bailey. Coming up on episode one, we discuss Bitsa Mosamane's move to Al Ahly, the new Mamelodi Sundowns coaching trident, the 2020 MTN8, Kermit Erasmus, Aubrey Ngoma, PSL Biobubble, and La Cockup, Bafana Bafana's nightmare of a week. Thanks for joining me on episode one of Diski Discussions. Lawrence, in the intro that I referred to you as Mr. Here We Go. We also call you that in Shokatal WhatsApp group. For you who are not familiar with Fabrizio Romano, go check him out on Twitter. He's a very famous Italian journalist. And we've got our own Lawrence Koller, who's pretty famous in that department as well. Lawrence, what do you make of that nickname?
I think it's a bit complimentary because that guy's done all the long yards, and he's made his name famous as the superstar transfer specialist. You know what I mean? And one day we aspire to reach that level, so it's very complimentary. And I just laugh at it in the beginning now, so I enjoy it though.
Dropping those bombs. What does it feel like? You know, knowing something before other people know it. I mean, obviously, it must be kind of a thrill for yourself.
100%, but it's also, it makes you nervous at the same time, because in football, especially in transfers, things can change at any moment. Like a player could agree a deal, and then last minute, his agent gets a new offer from somebody else with more money, and then you look like the idiot after saying that the deal was done, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, people say, like, how do you know this? Or how do you get so lucky? And it's like, people don't understand how many hours you have to phone, how many dead ends you have to go to, and the flack you get from people. Like, there's so many, there's so many doors closed in your face. And then it's all just for, you know, 1 second of fame or breaking the news. But, yeah, it's an exhilarating experience. And obviously I enjoy it. It's something that I like waking up to doing every day.
For those who don't know, Julian Bailey, Babes or Dumo, is a very well known admin in South African soccer. We used to have quite a bit of banter, but Jules, you know, on that same point, you obviously know a lot of news before a lot of people do. How hard is it to keep a secret, you know, about a new transfer?
Yeah, it's very difficult, especially considering the fact that how many people are involved from a club's point of view. You know, there's probably five or six people, and you don't know who they're going to speak to, which one's going to let it slip. And it's important for us to keep those things quiet. You know, we've actually had players who were supposed to join us, deals fell through because of someone leaking it to a publication or to another agent who arranged a better deal. And so, yeah, for us, it's very important to keep those kind of things as quiet as possible until such time where it's all signed on the dotted line.
One of the biggest moves, Lawrence, during the transfer window actually came in the form of a coaching move, Bitsa Mosamane leaving Sundowns after 8 years. How big is that move? For people that don't know how big of a club Al Ahly is, you spent time in Egypt last year during the Africa Cup of Nations. How big of a move is that?
Look, people probably don't recognize how big it is because of the lack of coverage we have of Egyptian and African football in general. Like, you can just take one example of, like, this international break. There wasn't a single African game on SuperSport. Put on the TV and I'll just see Ukraine versus Sweden, you know what I mean? And we know why that happens, but to put into context, Al Ahly is the second most titled club in international football history behind Real Madrid. And I think they have over 40 sports under the umbrella, so it's Al Ahli Sports Club. So when you walk into the headquarters, you realize you're walking into an institution and not just a football club. And to put into context how big the movie is, Pizzo resigned months after signing a four-year contract. He had the comfort, the success, all the money in the world to buy any player in South Africa he wanted to. He could have created a dynasty that was unrivaled in South African football history that could never be beaten, arguably. He was the king of the PSL. So to leave that behind for a club that's traditionally not had a stable job security, it shows you that Pizzo thought of the move as a once in a lifetime opportunity, and you can't begrudge him for that decision. They've won 8 Champions League titles, 42 Egyptian Premier League titles. They by far the biggest, most successful, and the richest club on the continent. And if he gets more success there, then you're looking at a legendary status, not just in South African football, but in world football, possibly.
Just to underline his importance to Sundowns, they've appointed 2 head coaches, co-coaches, and then also brought in Steve Compella as a senior coach. What do you make of that coaching trident, and do you think it's something that can work?
Look, I think they're all quality coaches. Let's not debate about that. Marulani has his strengths. Mangoba has his strengths, and Steve Compella also has. But it's a matter of, can they, you know, remain in unison? Can they get their ideas together? Can they, you know, agree on one philosophy in the way that Pizzo did? You know, Pizzo was the boss. Yes, other coaches would tell him, I think you should do this, I think you should do that, but he was the boss. And I think with having like this coaching trio now, it's a completely different dynamic. Are they going to continue Pizzo's philosophy? Are they going to try to stamp their own imprint on the Sundowns team? That's the question. So I think it's going to be really difficult, as Neil Dove even mentioned now, to kick off now, that it's a tiresome duty to have this discussions between multiple coaches if, you know, nobody's taking the lead. So if Mangoba does in fact take the lead, like Sundowns have, you know, presented the information, then I think it should be fairly, you know, straightforward. But if, you know, personalities clash, then there might be a problem. But yeah, I think the institution of Sundowns caliber, and because of Pizzo's legacy, I think that will definitely humble all 3 of them to create one common goal.
We start the season of the MPNA. Julian, if I can just bring you back in here. You guys, you know, straight out of the blocks with a tough game against the Orlando Pirates at Ayanda Petosi's home ground. you guys like to mention on Twitter. How tough is that game going to be?
Yeah, it's always tough to play Pirates home or away. They have so much quality in their team. They, you know, their coach is getting more and more familiar with the league and with the players he has. They've signed the whole of it. We know it's going to be tough. We played them not so long ago in the bubble. It was extremely tough conditions for both teams. But I remember some of our players saying that's probably one of the toughest games they've had this season. So we expect the same. Obviously, they've added so much quality just now. Tabang Manare, Dion Otto, Tulani Slatswayo. I mean, those are players who have performed for the last few seasons. I know them very well. Obviously, I was with them at Wits. But I think the Pirates team now looks a lot more balanced than they did last season.
Lawrence, in your unbiased opinion, we've got obviously four games this weekend. Talking about Wits, TTM plays SuperSport, Pirates play City, Chiefs play Maritzburg, and Sundowns play Celtic. Do you see any upsets on the cards?
I wouldn't say if Cape Town City beats Orlando Pirates, it would be an upset. But I think out of all the games, That's the one call that I could possibly make. I think just because of the continuity that Cape Town City have in terms of the core of the squad still being there. Yes, Julian's mentioned that Pirates have signed a lot of quality players, but how quickly can they gel and implement into the philosophy of Zimbabwe? That's the question, obviously. But I think just because okay, City's lost Kermit, but now they've got Fakhri and Tashreeq on new contracts, and I just think that the momentum that they created in the bio bubble will hold them definitely in good stead, and like the confidence will still be there, knowing that what they achieved was possibly the best out of all the teams in the bubble. Only Sundowns had a better run than them, I think. So I think that's definitely the fixture that I feel the, you know, in inverted commas, the underdog will prevail.
Talking about Kermit Erasmus, Julian, how big of a loss is Kermit in your team? Obviously, he scored a lot of goals last season. He was a good form. How do you guys replace a striker like him?
Yeah, a big loss. I think he's going to add a lot of quality to that Sundowns team. I think for me, the movement he has and the sharpness in front of goal is what makes him the player he is. He'll score a lot of goals in any team. He can basically fit into any system, I think. So for us, it's a big loss. But I do believe we've got players who can step up. We've secured Fakhri Lakay and Tashreeq Morris. Those are two strikers who I know for a very long time, and I know their qualities, and they can definitely turn it on. They are quite similar in the way that they need to play consistently in order to do well. And they weren't able to play a lot when Kermit was here, so hopefully that gap Kermit left can now be filled by Lakay, Morris, and also a new striker we've got coming in. Should be here by this weekend, so he won't be available for the weekend, but hopefully for the first league game. And I think that kind of firepower leaves us in a good position, also with Obren Goma coming in. He's got goals and assists in him. So I think we should be okay to fill that gap with what we've brought in.
We certainly look forward to the Lawrence, go ahead.
And I'll ask Julian a question. Okay. Obviously Kermit leaving, from your point of view, does that spur on players like Fakhri and Tashreeq? Or are they disappointed like a leading figure like him leaves the team? And also, to my knowledge, Fakhri and Tashreeq, their futures were a little bit uncertain a couple of months ago. Does that also inspire them knowing that, okay, now we've committed to the club and this is it's time for us to step up?
Yeah, Lawrence, I think 100% with Kermit going, I think both of them see themselves in with a chance to become the number one striker, and I've seen it in the preseason now. They're pushing that extra bit. Their finishing is a lot sharper now. So definitely it has spurred them on. I also believe that having their futures secured definitely gives them another push just to, I don't know if it's a bit of extra confidence or a bit more urgency, but yeah, it's definitely helped.
You spoke about Obren Goma. He's returned to Cape Town City. Just how big of an acquisition is that? He was, you know, outstanding that one season with Manyama, scoring, assisting. How happy is he to be back? And you know, hopefully we'll see more of him of the left Sundowns.
Yeah, it's definitely very exciting for us to have a player like him back. He knows the culture of the club. He knows the league very well. Obviously, he's had a good season and a half with us. He's got nothing but good memories of being here. So seeing him back here is such a good sight for us. And I know for sure that he's going to come out flying again. He looks hungry to play, and that's a good thing for us. So we look forward to seeing what he can bring.
The announcement videos that Cape Town City produce are always, you know, top of the list, top of the charts. How much work goes into an announcement video like that?
It's a lot. It's what's keeping me up at night now. I think the last 2 weeks has been so hectic, and not only the announcement of players, but also the announcement of the unveiling of the new kit. It's a lot of content to be filmed, and it has to be filmed around the team schedule, because we can't compromise training and meetings the players might have with the chairman and the coaches. So I think the planning takes a lot more time than the actual filming, but also the production behind it. You know, we have to constantly come up with new ideas and different ways to try and impress the fans and the viewers. So yeah, I think the creativity is important. I think that's the key.
One thing you're really good at is banter. We had a few banter wars when I was still at Ajax Cape Town. Sometimes it was a bit of an unfair advantage on your part, because Cape Town said you're doing so well on the field of play. How much thought goes into banter, and how do you stay on top of things to come up with the jabs? I mean, I remember the Gabardino Mahongo incident when you were at Cape Town City. I mean, if you haven't seen that, go check that out. That's just how do you stay on top of things and bring the fans on social media to life?
Yeah, I miss you a little bit, maybe at this other team around the corner. I think it's a lot of it is just in my nature to enjoy banter and be snappy with comebacks and finding ways to poke fun at people without being malicious. So a lot of it is just, I guess, down to personality. But I think doing a lot of research as well, watching people's backgrounds and maybe mistakes that they might have made or things that might have happened to people, and just keeping it in your mind and constantly reading up on things and staying relevant with the latest news and the latest happenings, I think that helps a lot. Just to have a quick comeback. But I think most times it's the ones that are thought out that does the best, I find.
Yeah, definitely. Let's just rewind it back to last season. Obviously, Cape Town City enjoyed a great run in the bio bubble. Why do you think that is? Why do you think you guys did so well and obviously won Q4 in the end of the day?
Yeah, I think the camaraderie is what really did it for us. The guys sticking together, doing so well together, I don't know exactly. I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what makes a team tick in the way we did, but I guess it was important for us to just stay together, fighting, and you could feel it from the bench in the stands where all the players who were not playing were sitting, and just the way they were cheering on for the guys who are playing, and that vibe we had in the team is ultimately what pushed us to do better.
Lawrence, on that note, what did you make of the end of last season in the bio bubble and how the PSL handled everything? I was also lucky to be in the bubble myself, and I thought the PSL did a great job in making sure the season kept its integrity and that the league was ultimately won on the field of play.
I think it was some of the most, in the start not so much, but the last few games were some of the most exciting football we've seen in PSL in a very, very long time. And like I said, Cape Town City was one of those teams that brought that excitement. Particularly, I was so happy to see Fakhri Lekay score that hat-trick. And like Julian said, I've seen this boy since he was 13, the engine knockout, and the bail when he was 15 with Santos. And it's been so frustrating to see his career stall that way, because we know he's one of the best strikers in the country. But yeah, going back to the bubble, the PSL deserves recognition for what they've achieved there. There was no COVID cases recorded in that, so it shows it was very successful. And if you think about the leagues in North Africa that only finished now 2 weeks ago, I definitely need to be applauded what they did there. And it was amazing. But the one thing I want to mention again here about what you're talking about Edmund now and Cape Town City being a cut above the rest of the league, I want to know if John would accept Bafana call up for Julian after what we've seen where possible. will John be happy with the Bafana call up during international break?
he has allowed it before. There was a time when I think Bafana had the Women's World Cup, the Banyana Women's World Cup, the Kusafa Cup, and some other youth tournaments all happening at once, and then they asked me to come to one of the tournaments to cover it for them. So he allowed it, and he was okay with it. So, yeah, I think what I saw from the Bafana media in the last international break was just crazy.
Yeah,
it's just leaving it crazy.
It's really disappointing, I would say, especially from a national team, a la cock-up, as they would say. I mean, I don't want to bring Julian too much into this, because in the end of the day, he's a club representative and he should probably, can't probably say what he wants to say always. But Lawrence, maybe from a, journalistic point of view, how do you sum up, South Africa's performance versus Namibia versus Zambia? Surely it's just not good enough, if we want to proclaim to have the best league on the continent.
Yeah. I think everybody's looking at us, like, from outside South Africa, and it's probably thinking, what is going on? Like, we have all this infrastructure, we have the players, we have the talent, but just the social media gaps and, like, the Le Coq Cup, as you said, I think it's just a representation of where we are in our football. It's a perfect representation of just not taking care, not taking pride, and not caring. And like, if you can't get basics right, like a kit launch or a team announcement, then what is going on behind the scenes in the federation to prepare a coach, to prepare a team to perform at their best level? You know what I mean? And this type of unprofessionalism, it seeps down into the players. Like, definitely, imagine not having enough shorts or tops for kids. You saw in the games, some of the players didn't even have kits on, and the coaches had old rain jackets on. Like, you come into your national team, and that definitely plays its part. So there's many other things that we can discuss about the Bafana at the moment, but I think it's just the basic elements that's not even there. So, yeah, honestly, I was shocked. I was completely shocked at the lack of unprofessionalism in this break.
Yeah, we'll definitely need a whole episode to cover that. Lauren, just to rewind again back to the bubble, are there any players that stood out for you? I mean, we still haven't had the award ceremony yet for last season. It surely will come in the near future. Which players stood out for you, if you had to make a list of players just off the top of your head?
Definitely, the funny thing is, some of the Sundowns players obviously needs to be in this conversation because they won the league. Mm-hmm. But many of them started the bio bubble like really poorly. Like Lebogang Mabue was slaughtered on social media for his performances at the right back. But he ends up scoring a hat-trick in the last game. Yeah. And that's all that counts. But people will remember. So obviously, Lebogang Mabue, Themba Zwane, these guys are the ones we're going to remember. But like, going in Cape Town City, Fakhri Lekay, he played, I think, 10 of the last 11 games. Started 10 of the last 11 games. He really impressed me. David Wilson, always solid, rock solid at in the defense. And I would say, definitely, it was one or two of the Pirates guys that impressed me. I think it was Pule. He found his scoring boots again. And in Maritzburg, Rushen Derek, like, what a player. Him and Ndravalgo Kutsia, I can definitely say were all done by for not getting into the Bafana squad. 23, 24 years old, both of them. They should be the future of the national team. And they were rock solid and consistent throughout, not just in the bio bubble. So, yeah, those are the guys who really caught my eye.
What about a guy like Samuel Nukovic? Chiefs have made some, let's just say, below par signings recently, but he's one that actually paid off quite well.
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise for me. Like, when they signed him and I heard he's coming from the Slovakian second division, I was like, another Gustavo Paez loading here, like some unknown that you know, just comes and goes. But the hard work, the graft that he's put in, like I've never seen anybody take to the PSL from, besides Grocki. But you can just see that Nurkovic is obviously a level above Grocki in terms of his decision making, in terms of his control, and just like his brute force. Not many of the PSL defenders like that type of, you know, how can I say, PSL defenders like to be classy. They want to, you know, spray that diagonal balls and stuff, and when they come up against like somebody 1.9 meters tall, they hate it. Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely one of the outstanding signings and players of the season, and Chiefs need to do everything they can to keep hold of him.
So one thing we want to do on Disky Discussions is like have a power rankings. So we'll do that with teams and players. If you had to choose top five teams currently, you can take maybe the bio bubble as an example. Top five teams on form right now, who would you go for?
Okay, I would say obviously Sundowns as domestic treble winners. Kaizer Chiefs getting Gavin Hunt now. That puts him, I would say, up there. And then you have Pirates, Cape Town City, SuperSport United, and this is a funny choice, Maritzburg United. I'd say Maritzburg United and SuperSport United, fourth and fifth.
Okay, cool. And Julian, what do you say is your top five teams currently, on current four, just before the season?
Yeah, I think top five, if I had to pick, I would go same as Lawrence. Mamelodi Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs, maybe Cape Town City third, Orlando Pirates fourth, and SuperSport United. Yeah, Maritzburg a close number six, definitely. I think I agree with Lawrence on that.
I think we also maybe overlooking Stellenbosch. They also did reasonably well, like in their first season in the league. And it's also going to be exciting, even though they're rivals. It's going to be exciting to see what they do to build on that debut season.
Yeah, definitely. We have to take a look at them as well. I mean, they, with the coach they have, he's so experienced, and I'm sure he's gonna surprise everyone once again with just the type of football he wants to play, and the type of players he managed to sign there. So yeah, we look forward to seeing them play as well.
Gents, just to close things off, Julian, if I could just ask you one question. Say now John comes to you and says you've got a check of 20 million rand. You can sign any player for the club you want. Who would you go for?
South African player?
South African. I don't think we can afford a European player for 20 million. But yeah. Considering the exchange rate. But let's say budget is out of the question. Let's keep it on the continent.
I think I'll have Lebo Manyama back.
yeah, him and Goma linking up together, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Julian, Lawrence, thanks for joining me, James. Good luck with this weekend's games and back to the graph for all of us. We'll catch up soon.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Lawrence.
Cheers. Cheers, bye.
Cheers, boys.
What to look forward to in next week's episode. We dissect the MTN8 quarterfinal results, preview the opening round of the 2020-21 DStv Premiership season, and discuss the best and worst signings of the transfer window. If you have any questions or things you'd like us to discuss on Disky Discussions, please hit me up at AB_Basson on Twitter or on Instagram. Away!